this is one of my favorite sections in the book of Romans, especially in these three chapters, 9, 10, and 11, because Paul does reveal some interesting things that make a difference in the doctrine. We want to find out and see from Scripture, who is it that confesses the Lord Jesus? Who is it that's calling on the name of the Lord? And thirdly, what does Paul mean by the word faith? So we'll look in the Scriptures, and Paul writes to a variety of people, as we've said before. He writes to all that be in Rome, and he goes through then. Excuse me. Something crawling up the wall. Oh, excuse me. But he goes through different doctrines for different groups of people. Sometimes he's addressing Jews. Sometimes he's addressing those that are called Jews or are proselytes. Sometimes he's addressing those that are Gentiles, actually. And he's addressing saved people after chapter 5. He addresses unsaved before that. And so it's a variety of people. And he usually says or indicates who he's speaking to. Because if you look in Romans 1:7, Paul addresses the entire epistle to all that be in Rome. It doesn't say all that be in Rome's churches. Let's don't put that in there. It says to all that be in Rome. Excuse me just a moment, please. So that's quite a wide variety of people. He tells people of their need of salvation, and then he tells of God's provision for salvation. He goes on to tell people that how they need to live a godly life, and then he tells God's provision for living a godly life. And then Paul gets to chapters 9, 10, and 11 that we're in now, and he tells them what happened to Israel and why God is not working through Israel anymore. So let's start by getting the whole picture. We're going to read through a number of verses here that cover the whole thought of what happened to Israel. Starting in Romans 9, verse 30, and going through... Oh, I forgot to put the banner up there with the website and the verse list. But anyway, sorry about that. We're going through Romans 10, 17. And as a unit here. So we're going to start now in Romans 9, verse 30. What shall we say then? That the Gentiles, which followed not after righteousness, have attained to righteousness, even the righteousness which is of faith. 31. But Israel, which followed after the law of righteousness, hath not attained to the law of righteousness. Wherefore? Because they sought it not by faith. Key verse there. Key thought to understand the whole passage. I hope you see it and hear it. They sought it not by faith. Faith is what they missed. They should have had faith in something. And we'll find out what. But as it were... As it were by the works of the law, for they stumbled at that stumbling stone. Verse 33, as it is written, Behold, I lay in Sion a stumbling stone and a rock of offense, and whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. Next verse, Romans 10:1, Brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved. And you can see that getting more intense in Paul as he, at this point and even, later, he's had this desire for Israel, and he's gone to, if you look in the first chapter, when we were in the first chapter, verse 16, he says, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. It's the power of God unto salvation. To everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. So at that point, he was going to the Jew first, or he was sent to the Jew first. It doesn't say he went to the Jew first, unless you follow his trail through Acts and see him going from synagogue to synagogue to synagogue. Who goes to the synagogue on the Sabbath day? That's the Jews. Where are the scriptures kept? They were kept in the synagogue. So that was Paul's heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel, is that they might be saved. Verse 2 in Romans 10, "For I bear them record that they have a zeal of God, but not according to knowledge. For they, being ignorant of God's righteousness, and going about to establish their own righteousness, have not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of God." Let me just take a second here and put a verse that's almost the opposite of that. Instead of not submitting, look what Paul said in Philippians 3:9, "And be found in him, not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God, by faith." So back to Romans 10. We had gotten up to verse 3, and it tells why. It says, "For Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone that believeth." So trying to attain righteousness by the law ended with Christ. And this is what some years afterwards, the epistle of Romans written in Acts 20 would have been, I'm trying to think, probably 23 years after. That's a guess. I don't have the figures in front of me. It would have been somewhat around 20 to 23 years, I believe, after Christ returned to heaven. So Christ is the end of the law. Is the end, well, not just the law. The law exists, but the law for righteousness is what he says here. Christ is the end of the law for righteousness. You gain righteousness not by the law. No, you gain it by Christ having earned it on the cross and trusting in Christ, and you are imputed God's very own righteousness. We saw that in Romans 3:21 and 22. But verse 5, "For Moses describeth the righteousness which is of the law, that the man which doeth those things shall live by them." If you want to live by the law, you got to do them. You got to do the law. And, you know, Deuteronomy 6:25, Israel signed up to, well, they pledged to keep all the laws all the time and said that would be their righteousness. You know, too bad. Nobody made it. So, and God, of course, knew that nobody would be able to keep his righteousness in their flesh, in their sinful flesh. Going on, I interjected there in the middle of verse 6, so I'm going to repeat 6. But the righteousness which... I didn't get to 6, did I? "The righteousness which is of faith speaketh on this wise, say not in thine heart, who shall ascend into heaven?" That is, to bring Christ down from above. You know, you don't think you've got the Messiah. Who's going to go find him up in the heavens if he's not here? Who's going to find him? Who shall descend into the deep? That is, to bring Christ up from the dead. "But what saith it? The word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth and in thy heart." That is, the word of faith, which we preach. So you get into what Paul preached here now. What does Paul preach as far as faith? What part of what he preached about faith was also taught to Israel, that they had to believe and failed to believe? They were to believe it, but they failed not believing. And where was that? Verse 6? verse 3. For they being ignorant of God's righteousness... four. For Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone that believeth. They failed to believe. So we'll get into that more. Let's see. And remember back in 31 and 30, Romans 9, 31 and 32, but Israel which followeth after the law of righteousness hath not attained to the law of righteousness. Wherefore? Because they sought it not by faith. Another time that we're told that Israel didn't have faith in something that they should have to succeed, to have brought in the kingdom. But as it were, by the works of the law. For they stumbled at that stumbling stone. And it says that stumbling stone is a person, someone to be believed in, Jesus Christ. And that fits in with Romans 10, verse 6. But the righteousness which is of faith speaketh on this wise. On this wise. And I'm just trying to see if we finish that. Yeah, we finished it. Did we? Is that six? Yeah. Speaketh on this wise. You've got your Messiah. Don't go looking somewhere else for him. Trust him. Have faith in him. Believe on him. In what way? Well, in the way that they were told to. We'll get to that. It's in the notes later, I think. But it has to do with who he is. His identity. Confessing Jesus to be the one in the scriptures, to be who he said he was, that he was the Son of God, the Messiah. And believing like Paul when he stood there trembling and astonished on the road, not stood there, had been knocked to the ground on the road to Damascus, and seeing Jesus risen from the dead. They didn't believe that. And Paul didn't until he saw him. So, going on, we can see in Romans 10, 9 and 10, what faith it was that Israel lacked and that they needed. Romans 10, 9, that if thou, Israel, shalt confess... Now, he's not writing to Israel. He's writing to all that be in Rome. But he's going through this argument, this strategy... Not strategy, but this... account, I guess you could say, telling why Israel failed, why Israel fell and didn't receive the kingdom, and what they should have believed. And if thou shalt believe, not that they still could, but this was what they heard and should have believed, or should have, in this case it says, shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus. See, that's the trouble. They didn't believe he was the Lord. And shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead. They didn't believe in the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Thou shalt be saved. Now, that's a future saying, because Israel isn't saved until the future. Until the Lord returns and blots out their sins. Acts 3:19 to 20 tells us that. As well as 1 Peter over and over in 1 Peter chapter 1. But... let me just post some verses and see if it rings a bell with anybody. Romans 1 verse 3, concerning his son Jesus Christ our Lord. So calling Jesus Christ the Son of God, that he is not just Jesus the Savior, but that he is Christ the Messiah, Israel's Messiah, the Lord, our Lord, which was made of the seed of David, and according to the flesh, so he's of the royal lineage, and declared to be the Son of God. There's the Son of God again, the first fact, with power according to the Spirit of holiness by the resurrection from the dead. The resurrection from the dead declared Jesus Christ to be the Son of God. And as well as, that he was resurrected to sit on David's throne, and that he was resurrected for our justification. But here it says that it declares him to be the Son of God. Well, going back to Romans 10, verse 9, let's read it again. See if you can't see the direct parallel. that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. So he's teaching the gospel of God, which was the only thing missing in Israel's repertoire, what they believed, their list of things that they were to believe. You know, they were to be circumcised, they were to keep the Sabbath, they were to keep all the law. In Jesus' time and early Acts, they were to sell all they had, lay it at the apostles' feet to be distributed as needed. And there's other things I'm not remembering at the moment, but there was a whole list of things, including faith in Jesus having been the Son of God, the Messiah, risen from the dead. The gospel of God. And that's what they failed to do, according to verse 9. That's what they should have believed, but didn't. Verse 10. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Well, that's a work. That's not us. That's, if it is, it's a private interpretation, because there's no scripture to support that Paul ever teaches that we're saved by a work. Israel had to work. They had to be circumcised. They had to go through motions, they had to keep the law, according to Deuteronomy 6:25. They agreed to it. Exodus 19:5-8, they agreed to it. So, that doesn't have to do with the church, the body of Christ. It has to do with, as it's been said over and over in Israel's doctrine, they had to do works. Confession was a work, was something they had to do or else not receive the benefit. Confession is made unto salvation with the mouth. So, and he goes on and he says, for the scripture saith, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. And I think you know, well, let me just see. Look ahead in my notes. I forgot whether I included it. Let's take a side trip here. Let me just look in Joel for an explanation as to what that's talking about there. Shall not be ashamed. And I think isn't there 13 is more emphatic even yet. Let's go ahead with where we are and then we'll go to Joel. Verse 12, Romans 10:12. For there is no difference between the Jew and the Greek. So in Acts 20 there was still no difference between the Jew and the Greek, and there was still a big gap between the Greeks and the alien Gentiles, the rest of the Gentiles. The Greeks were coming to God by Israel's doctrine, by Israel's gospel. They believed that Jesus, the God's righteous servant, would come to earth, would be their Messiah, Israel's Messiah, would rule the world through Israel. They came to be servants in that kingdom. They submitted to Israel. They blessed Israel. They brought their tithes to the synagogues. That's the Greeks. So there's no difference between the Jew and the Greek. They both come to God in the same way. Not the way we do, but the way Israel did and fell from in Acts 7. So it says, for there is no difference between the Jew and the Greek, for the same Lord is Lord over all, is rich unto all that call upon him. So it's not that you couldn't get saved before Paul. Your salvation, if you were before Paul, had to be through Israel, and you had to wait for it. You had to endure all the way to the end in order to, in the end, be saved. So going on in verse 13, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Now let's look in Joel 2:28. That's not in the verse list, but it shall come to pass afterward. And as you go through, you can see he's repeating in more detail what he started the chapter with. But he says, "It shall come to pass afterward that I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh." And the way I understand this is that it's in the tribulation, your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, your old men shall dream dreams, your young men shall see visions, and also upon the servants and upon the handmaids, in those days will I pour out my spirit, and I will show wonders in the heavens and in the earth, and blood and fire, pillars of smoke. The sun shall be turned into darkness, and the moon into blood before that the great and terrible day of the Lord come. Now, that's not just the day of the Lord. The day of the Lord is from the time Israel's prophecy and the fulfillment of their prophecy starts again, when their prophecy fulfillment resumes, having been cut off at Daniel's 69th week, when Messiah was cut off, but not for himself. So it goes from then until the end of the millennium, the day of the Lord. But the great and terrible day of the Lord is the day Jesus Christ returns to earth and splits open the Mount of Olives and comes and takes over. I mean, there's not going to be any question. No, remember that old song, there will never be any peace until Jesus Christ sits at the conference table. No, that's not what's going to happen. There's not going to be any conference table. There's not going to be any conferring. They just obey. He's going to rule with a rod of iron, and he will rule the earth for 1,000 years. But the point is, the sun shall be turned into darkness and the moon into blood before that great and terrible day of the Lord come, and it shall come to pass. Remember what time we're talking about here in this prophecy. It's about at the end of the tribulation when Christ returns. It shall come to pass that whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be delivered. From what? Not from personal unrighteousness, not from hell. It's talking about these phenomena that, you know, where half the earth gets killed. You know, first a quarter and then a second quarter, which, you know, if there's only three quarters left, the second quarter of it would be a third of the remaining group. And that only leaves two quarters of the population. So that's what this verse is about. That's what Romans 10:13 is about. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? Who's they? How then shall they call on him? That's still talking about Israel, in whom they haven't believed. How shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach except they be sent? Who was Paul sent to first? Sent to the Jews, to Israel, to these people that he's talking about here. But he wrote this three verses before he was sent to all people without regard to whether they're Israel or not, and with the gospel that had been revealed to him, the gospel that he had been saved by, a gospel he had preached throughout Acts, from his salvation there in Acts 9 till the end. It's the same gospel message, I should say. It's not the same gospel, because the gospel depends not only on the content, the gospel, but it depends on when it's for. This gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world. Well, that's for the end time. But Paul's gospel was, when it was the gospel of Christ, it was to the Jew first and also to the Greek. Romans 1:16 says so very plainly who it was sent to the Jew first and also to the Greek. But then there came a time that same saving message went to all people. Paul was sent to all people with it. Not that he couldn't have preached to all people, to alien Gentiles before that. He could have. But it's just not recorded because that's not the emphasis. God sending in Acts, in most of Acts, was to, up through Acts 20, was to the Jew first and also to the Greek. And you have several references to that. Romans 11:11, Acts 26, verse 16 and 17, talk about those Jews and Greeks being the ones that the Lord had to deliver Paul from. And that's the ones that he was sent to. So, we better go on or we won't get through. I put down a time there, and I don't like to be late. But anyway, how shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? That's 14. And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach except they be sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. What is the gospel of peace? You got to endure to the end or you won't be saved? I would say that's not as peaceful as I'm accustomed to just by believing Romans 5:1. Therefore, being justified by faith, we, that's Paul and those that believe like Paul, we have faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. So it's talking about Paul's gospel at this point. But they've not all obeyed the gospel. For Isaiah saith, Lord, who hath believed our report? So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So we're going to look in the middle of that section there of 9, 10, and 11. We're going to look at 10, and we're going to go through chapter 10, verses 5, and then 8 through 13, and see if we can see what it's... See if it's not... Let's leave those two verses out about go look for Christ in the heavens and go look for Christ in the deep, and we're going to... I think we'll see what it's talking about here. For this is starting in Romans 10:5, and then going to verse 8. For Moses describeth the righteousness which is